The title of today's sermon is, What is the Gospel of Jesus Christ? Many people speak of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered what the Gospel of Jesus Christ is? Many people answer this question as, the Gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. But what is this good news of Jesus Christ? The answer to the question, what is the Gospel of Jesus Christ, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The first thing we find out is that the Gospel of Jesus Christ, or the Good News, according to verse 2, is what we are saved by. And the second thing we learn is what this Gospel is. First, that Christ died for our sins. Second, He was buried. And third, He rose again on the third day. This is of the utmost importance, since it pertains to our eternity. So how do we partake of the salvation that Apostle Paul is speaking of? For the lead up to this answer, let's see what Jesus Christ spoke to a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. Let me expound here some. Jesus Christ has told us that we must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. This phrase of being born again is what we call the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ has told us that this process of being born again will include being born of water and of the Spirit. Many people teach that when you are born of your mother, that this is being born of the water that was spoken of by Jesus. This teaching goes against the fact that verse 3 and verse 7 both tell us we must be born again. It is impossible to be born again if you were never born the first time. And when you are born the first time, that would not be being born again, but that would be just birthed or just born. Verse 6 also goes completely against the teaching that when you are born of your mother, that this is being born of the water that was spoken of by Jesus. We are told in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So to be born of your mother would be of the flesh. But we were just told that which is born of the flesh is of the flesh. We want to be born again of the Spirit, and as Jesus told us, this will also involve water. Listen carefully again to what Jesus tells Nicodemus. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So how are we to partake of being born again of water and of the Spirit, as Jesus Christ has told us? This answer is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2. I suggest you read it in its entirety. But for now, let's go straight to the answer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There are several things at this point that we need to address. Let's start with an extremely important scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Examine this verse again, and take notice of the importance of this scripture. We are told all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then we are told what these scriptures are profitable for. 1. Doctrine. 2. Reproof. 3. Correction. 4. Instruction in righteousness. The Apostle Peter has gave the first message of the beginning of the church. He has told the men of Jerusalem that what they were seeing and hearing, the Holy Ghost, is what the prophet Joel had spoken of that was to come. The apostle continues and tells them that this same Jesus that they had crucified, that God had made him both Lord and Christ. When these people heard that, they were pricked in their heart and asked what they needed to do so that they would be saved from their mistake. The apostle Peter tells them that they need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Recall that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 above said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. This would also include Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, which reads, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is not a contradiction of Jesus Christ and of the Apostle Peter. To believe that would go against what the apostles taught all throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles, or Acts, as well as it would go against what we have learned in the book of 2 Timothy. Let me take this time to give you a deeper understanding of the Scriptures. Whom shall the Lord teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? In Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 12, whom shall we teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. A precept is a general rule regulating behavior or thought. For example, when you apply a commandment of God in your life, this commandment or precept is put in place for us to regulate our behavior or our thought, or both. The prophet Isaiah has told us that we learn doctrine, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. This means we learn from studying the Word of God, commandment upon commandment, reading line upon line, gaining this doctrinal knowledge here a little and there a little. Here a little and there a little, meaning one book may have part of the answer, and another book another part of the answer, and yet in another book even more of the answer. This design is intended to make one study the Scriptures. If you notice verses 11 and 12, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. This stammering lips is also referring to the Holy Ghost, and is a prophecy that the Holy Ghost would come as a stammering lip and another tongue when the Lord poured it out on the day of Pentecost, as we have seen in the book of Acts chapter 2. The prophet Isaiah also tells us that this Holy Ghost is the rest. doctrine is learned precept upon precept and line upon line, and that we are told that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, let's get the rest of the information we need to show that being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is fulfilling being baptized in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Recall, Apostle Matthew, the author of Matthew, was with the other 10 apostles when Apostle Peter told the people what they must do to be saved, which was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Recall Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now notice what is recorded in the book of Luke, in chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. And he, Jesus, said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as the Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Here we see that Jesus Christ, after he raised from the dead, opened the disciples' understanding of the Scriptures. And then he told them to go preach repentance and remission of sins to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem in his name. So here we find out that Jesus Christ told Apostle Peter what to preach starting in Jerusalem. Repentance and remission of sins in his name, which was Jesus Christ. And this is what the Apostle Peter did. He told the people present what they must do, which was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember what the Apostle Paul told us the gospel was? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day. Remember, we must be born again of water and of the Spirit. The answer to how this is done was given by the Apostle Peter. We must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. By repenting, or the turning away from your ways, and the turning to God's ways, by telling Him you are sorry and will follow after Him, this is the dying out of yourself, or your spiritual death. Repentance is our death. By being baptized, we partake of the water. As Jesus told the ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, we must be born again. We are told in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Baptism into Jesus Christ's name is then being buried with him. By receiving the Holy Ghost, we partake of the Spirit, as Jesus told the ruler Nicodemus was also necessary to be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Here we are told with no uncertain terms that whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This would also include the baptism. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 8, And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. In John chapter 19, verse 33, But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. This verse tells us how Jesus Christ came, which was by water and blood, not water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Who is the Spirit that bears this witness? In John chapter 14, verse 16, And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. This verse tells us that Jesus Christ came by water and blood and the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, who the world cannot receive because it cannot see Him, but you, the disciples, could see because He dwelleth with you and shall be in you, was Jesus telling us that He is also the Holy Spirit which was to come. Jesus clearly identifies this again when He then tells them, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. So then, Jesus Christ is the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. And His Spirit was the witness that bore record of His death, because the Spirit is truth. The three things that bear witness in earth are the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in being born again, or salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We partake of this by repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 18, verse 37 through 38, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. In John chapter 14, verses 6 through 10, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth You know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Here we are told there are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. So who is the Father? God. God's the Father. Who is the Word? In John chapter 1, verse 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is also God. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God. We just learned that Jesus is the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. So what does all of this mean? That the three that bear record in heaven are God, and His name is Jesus. Remember John chapter 5, verse 43? I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. So verse 7 said that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one. It did not say these three are one made up of three, because that would no longer be one, but three. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is only one. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, There is one body, and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. There is only one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. There is only one Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There is only one hope, eternal life, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God, and our Savior Jesus Christ. There is only one Lord, Jesus, whom God made both Lord and Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. There is only one faith, the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. There is only one baptism, the baptism into the death of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? There is only one God. His name was manifested by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. There is only one Father. His name was declared by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There is only one door, the door which is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. There is only one name. Every knee shall bow before Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 20 through 23, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." In 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In John chapter 16, verse 25 through 31, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world, and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?"